The words are from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite."
Continue in verse 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Well, thank you, Valerie, for reading for us. Last week, Anthony was helping us to explore the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. I wonder whether over this past week you've had opportunities, as Anthony was encouraging us, to be present and to share something of the story of Jesus as we have encountered it with those around us. Well, this week, John chapter 6, we've just read part of this story. It's a story that many of us, I guess, here might know quite well. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, this is the only miracle of Jesus that's in all 4 of the Gospels. It's an important story as Jesus feeds 5,000 plus people. But I want to ask this morning, what is it that we learn here about the story of Jesus? And how does that have any impact on our stories today here in Harborne on this rainy Sunday morning in February 2022? And I want to ask 2 questions about this passage this morning. 2 fairly simple questions, but questions that have really opened up for me this passage this week. Firstly, what does Jesus see? What does Jesus see? And then in a minute we'll look at what does Jesus do. So firstly, what does Jesus see? If you've got the Bible open, it's page 1069 if you want to follow with me. But as we head into this story, this is a time of great busyness for Jesus and his disciples. They've been traveling and ministering and healing, and they travel across the Sea of Galilee in verse 1 of chapter 6. And then up onto a mountainside, Jesus sits down with his disciples, taking some time away from the crowds and the busyness for some rest and restoration. If we read the story in Mark's gospel, we read that the disciples have been so busy they hadn't even been able to sit down and eat. That's how busy they are. Taking a break now in verse 3. But then in verse 5, what does Jesus see? Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him. What does Jesus see? Jesus sees a great crowd of people. Many, many people who've been intrigued by this Jesus, the Jesus we've been reading about here at church over the past few weeks, the Jesus who turns water into wine, the Jesus who heals people, the Jesus who has been doing these signs. People want to come and meet this Jesus. Jesus sees a great crowd, but that's not all that Jesus sees. Look at the question he asked Philip in verse 5. Where shall we buy bread for those people to eat? Where shall we buy bread? What does Jesus see? Jesus sees the hunger that these people are bringing with them. Jesus sees the needs that they carry with them as they come to him. They're people who are seeking not just for physical food, but also for spiritual food. They're looking for a Messiah. They're searching for healing for those friends who are ill. They're looking for the one who was to come, as we see at the end of the passage. They think this is the prophet, the one who we are looking for. There's a little note in verse 4. I wonder if you saw it as Valerie read it. It says the Jewish Passover festival was near. And that was a moment for the Jewish people where they celebrated the way that God had rescued them, taken them from slavery and brought them into the place of freedom. And people, as they celebrated this festival, were desperate for freedom from the oppression that they knew in their own time, from the Roman emperors. They longed for release from slavery, and Jesus saw that. Jesus saw the hopes, the dreams, as well as the hunger and the pain that people were coming with. What does Jesus see? Jesus sees people and Jesus sees their needs. We saw that actually last week with the woman at the well, the week before with Nicodemus. Jesus sees people and knows their needs, the deepest needs that they carry with them. Well, what does that mean for us here this morning? I guess if we were to look around the room, or if you're on YouTube, look around your own room, for us here, there'll be people in this room that we don't know. We're not familiar with. We don't know them well or at all. But this morning we have this encouragement from this passage that Jesus sees you, that Jesus sees your needs, those things that you are carrying with you as you come to church this morning. Maybe that anxious thought that's been weighing on your mind all week. Perhaps the unspoken worry that nobody else knows about. The fears that you carry, the pressure that you are under. Jesus sees you today. Jesus sees you, and more than that, Jesus longs to offer you relief and refreshment. The verse that Barry mentioned just now. Jesus invites us to come to him if we are weary and heavy laden, and we will find rest. Is that right, Theo? Yeah, great. Now that's good news. But if we are followers of Jesus, it's also a challenge. As we think about what does Jesus see when he looks at people? He doesn't see, in this passage, an interruption, a problem. Oh, these people are here, and oh, I was having a rest, and here they are, and oh, that's not what Jesus sees. Jesus sees people and their needs. And I wonder how it is with us, those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning. How often do we look up as Jesus looks up and sees the needs of those around him? I wonder whether we know the needs in our community. Do we know, even knowing our neighbours and the needs and the struggles that they face? I had a wonderful conversation last week with a friend who told me about his neighbour. They'd got to know the neighbour and they were able to support and encourage their neighbour in their struggles. I wonder how many of us know those struggles. Do we see as Jesus sees? Our local schools, communities, what are the needs around us as we look out from our church building, as we look up? And I wonder whether I could challenge you today to pray a prayer this week that is quite a bold prayer to pray. to ask Jesus to show you what Jesus sees when he looks out at the people around you, at your community, at your neighborhoods. And how might our attitude and our outlook change when we don't look with eyes of accusation or judgment, but look as Jesus does with grace and compassion on those around us? Jesus sees people, sees their deepest needs. And then secondly and finally, what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Well, I know you probably have a quick and easy answer, don't you? Jesus feeds these people. Well, he does, but let's see how he does it. Jesus starts by asking a question to Philip, one of his followers. We met Philip back in chapter 1 a few weeks ago. Jesus asks Philip, where shall we buy food for these people to eat? Why does Jesus do that? Why does Jesus ask Philip where to buy food? Was Philip some kind of bread expert? Why does he ask? Actually, verse 6 tells us that Jesus knew already what he was going to do. And the question was to test Philip, to draw something out of Philip. And over the following verses, there's a bit of panic that develops, isn't there? Philip kind of flaps around, oh my God, how are we going to find that much money? It'd be an unthinkable amount of money. 7 months of wages. You can do the own sums for your own situation. It's a huge amount of money. Andrew comes up with a boy's lunch. Well, we've got some food here, but it's never going to be enough. Well, Jesus doesn't panic. He says, make the people sit down. And it's a grassy field on that hillside where the people sit in their thousands. 5,000 men, presumably as many again, women and children. And Jesus takes the loaves, gives thanks and distributes to those who were sat. The loaves and then the fish. As much as they wanted. And when everyone's eaten, Jesus asks them to gather up the leftovers. Nothing should be wasted. 12 baskets of bread are collected up. Yes, Jesus feeds the people. That's what he does. And he doesn't feed them as Philip had thought, just with a tiny bit each. No, they're able to eat as much as they want. Just like at the wedding where the wine was overflowing and it was the best quality of wine. Jesus does things abundantly. When he feeds abundantly, above and beyond. What does Jesus do? He feeds the people. But this morning, let's not miss how Jesus feeds the people. Asking Philip, where shall we buy bread? Where? Not how, but where? Where are we going to find the resources for these people? And Philip immediately thinks of the money and going down to the cash and carry and trying to get as much as possible back up to the hill. But heading to the shop was never Jesus' plan. Jesus' plan all along was to use the resources the disciples already had in their possession. And through his miraculous power to feed this crowd. Jesus chooses, doesn't he, to include and involve his followers in this feeding of the 5,000. Didn't have to, but that's his decision. To use his followers and the resources that they had already to do his work. And I think this morning, friends, that is a beautiful picture of church. Where so often we feel our resources, and even this food, it's a pile of food, but the need is so far beyond the resources we have. There are so many things, aren't there, around us. We think, that would be great, we'd love to do that. It'd be wonderful if we could help in this or that way, but we just don't have the resources. And the challenge is, how do we respond? Do we take Philip's response, who pretty much gives up? It's impossible. It can't be done. Do we come with Andrew's questions where he kind of gets paralyzed? Well, this surely isn't enough, Jesus. Or do we take the approach of the third person in this story? Person we might have overlooked. Did you catch it as we read? The child. The boy. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Probably his lunch, maybe his day's food. He brings it to Jesus. He brings it to Jesus and allows Jesus to use what he has. And I think this morning that may be our inspiration. The child, the boy, bringing what he has to Jesus, for Jesus to use to feed and bless others. Now, friends, for us here this morning, that may mean within our church contacts, our church family here, bringing what we have, our ability to play an instrument or sing or pour a coffee or do some tech work or to make a phone call or use our professional skills. We can do some DIY, some gardening, whatever it might be. Feels small to us, and yet in God's hands can be used in wonderful ways. Maybe as Anthony was encouraging us last week, just the willingness to go into our community and spend time with people, using our time as a resource, to be present, to listen, to stop long enough, to hear what people are saying to us. Five small loaves, two small fish. Did you catch that? Everything about it is small. It's all small. We think of ourselves and our gifts as small, and yet Jesus can use them to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What does Jesus do? Jesus uses these seemingly insignificant resources his disciples bring to feed a vast crowd. And after everyone has been fed, did you notice this? There's more left over than there was at the beginning. More left over than there was at the beginning. When we come to Jesus and ask him to use what we bring, he blesses communities and people through that. We're going to sing as we come to receive from God. We're going to sing before the throne of God above. As we come, Lord Jesus, we pray that you might feed us and sustain us and encourage us and remind us that what we have, that you've given us, is not small in your sight, but can be used for wonderful things. Would you use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.